Well, good morning to you, Ken, yet again. I guess this will probably be our last conversation in Australia before you head off to the Americas shortly.
Hi, John, and great to be able to chat once more.
Right, well, having arrived down in the southeast of Australia, have you noticed a marked difference between the northeast around Cairns, where you arrived, and the area around Sydney? It must be a bit like going from one side of Europe to the other, I guess.
Absolutely. In fact, my journey along the east coast from Cairns in the north to Melbourne in the south is roughly equivalent to riding right across Europe from, say, London to Istanbul. Hardly surprising, I suppose, as Australia, of course, isn't just a country, it's an entire continent.
Right, so with these large distances, as you say, from London to Istanbul, did the changes that you noticed, were they fairly gradual or fairly abrupt?
Changes, both climatically and in terms of the terrain, have been fairly gradual, slowly shifting, for example, from the wet tropics and its pretty oppressive humidity to the much cooler southern state of Victoria and Melbourne. Their winter, when I got there, but something we'd probably all easily mistake for a typical English summer.
Ah, well, I see. I mean, going back to the blog, I've also noticed that you've been island hopping down around the bottom section of Australia. What led you to this exactly?
Ah, yes. I chose Phillip Island, 50 or so miles to the south of Melbourne, as my finish point, simply because I didn't want to mark my last official day on the road in Australia by becoming embroiled in city traffic. And it allowed me to follow a little more of the coast on the quieter roads.
Yeah, and there are some good photographs of some of these quieter roads and the sort of the scenery around them on the website. I'd really recommend listeners having a look at those. But I know you've also made it over to New Zealand for a brief visit. I mean, the photos and video clips are very impressive on the blog from this trip. And I know you've been very taken with this country. Did you find New Zealand very different to Australia?
I might tease the Kiwis just a little about their unusual accent, for example, calling me Kin rather than Ken. But I have fallen in love with the place and really can't wait to go back. And it's not just the dramatic scenery, but I think the people as well, remarkably friendly and genuinely welcoming. And I think also what makes it appeal over Australia is it just lacks that brashness I think I found in Oz.
Well, it certainly made quite a mark of you. When you think you've left the whole Antipodean area, what do you think will be your strongest memory of that part of the world?
Very difficult choices. Perhaps New Zealand's Franz Josef Glacier, a night camping alone in the Mary Valley close to Brisbane, listening to the howl of nearby dingoes. And then there's the people I've met, friendships forged and others renewed.
And I guess during the next few continents, you'll also be forging new friendships yet again. But having cycled three of the targeted six continents, have you found any major similarities or differences, for that matter, between Europe, Asia and Australia and New Zealand?
Irrespective of the country, you find the vast majority of people are remarkably kind and friendly, and I've certainly never felt in fear. A bit confused, perhaps, but not in danger. And whilst there may be regional similarities, stay clear of much of Central Asia, the old Soviet states like Azerbaijan or Kazakhstan, if you dislike mutton three times a day, neighbouring nations, I think even the small ones, can be culturally very different. And yes, wherever you go, you're bound to find a German or two. They do like to roam, as I think the French will tell you.
Okay, so thinking about the next few months to come, you're returning to the Northern Hemisphere, and as you look forward to Alaska and Canada, how do you think the cycling is going to be when you think back to in comparison with what you've already experienced?
With vast wilderness to cross, I'll certainly be drawing on my experiences in the Gobi Desert in the sense of dealing with the inevitable loneliness, and there'll be fresh challenges to contend with, wild bears for starters, and almost perpetual daylight, at least in Alaska.
Right, so will you need any extra kit for Emma, your trusty steed, as you always refer to her, while you're in Alaska?
Hopefully not for the bike itself, but by all accounts, Alaska does do a fine line in spiked bike tyres for winter riding, but I rather hope that I'm long gone by then. What I do expect to carry, though, is bear spray. Hopefully a couple of cans should suffice, and I might also change one of my camping staples, tin tuna, which strikes me as a bit unwise in bear country.
Well, that's great. And we certainly hope that you don't have any unhappy encounters in bear country around the sort of Canadian Rockies area. That's great, Ken. Thank you very much indeed. Would you like to finish with your normal plug for the blog and also the Outward Bound Trust?
alas, the miles have flown by far quicker than donations to the Outward Bound Trust. Full details, of course, on my website, www.acrosscontinents.org, where you can also make a donation safely and securely, and where, incidentally, you can catch up on my antics through the photos, the videos and the blog posts, and find out more about the Outward Bound Trust and its work with young people in the UK.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much indeed, Ken. Good to talk to you as ever. I think we've got some more music lined up for you now, and we'll speak to you again. But next time, we will both be speaking from the Northern Hemisphere. Take care, Ken, and speak soon. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, John, and look forward to chatting again next month.